Hello and welcome to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio. I am your host, Adam A. Donaldson, and joining me today is...
And I am an advanced breed of monkey on a minor planet, Scotty Hertz.
Sorry, something in my throat there. And something in my eye as well.
Yeah, it's kind of been another sad week. With Dr. Hawking gone.
On Pi Day.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was Pi Day. Goodness me. Anyway, Open Sources is CFRU's political and current affairs discussion show, and you can listen to us live here on CFRU every Thursday at 5 p.m. You can also listen to us live online. Go to CFRU.ca and click on the Listen Now icon at the top right-hand corner of your screen, and you can listen to us anytime by downloading the Open Sources podcast on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Now, today we'll look ahead to the leadership of Doug Ford, the man who would be premier, but what kind of challenges must he overcome before he can become premier, if that's what the voters decide. And then, speaking of leaders, we'll welcome Mike Schreiner back to the show to talk about matters of being a leader, his thoughts on Ford and his efforts to take part in the leaders' debate in the coming election. But first, we are going to take one last look back at the PC leadership campaign, which ended pretty much as it began, as an unexpected fuster cluck of an affair with it going late and nobody knowing what ballots to count and... what else happened? The ballroom, they had to get out of the ballroom by 7. They couldn't drop the balloons because they had to get out of the ballroom because nobody thought to book the ballroom past 7 p.m. And they had to get out because there was, I think, a wedding reception that had it booked.
Something was going on. I heard like Filipino boxing, but I don't know if that was true. There was all kinds of stuff coming out.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. I mean, I'm not sure how many of you were watching. I was watching a bit on and off.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, they're going to announce it now, and then they kept extending the deadline.
Yeah.
When you do something complicated quickly, there's going to be glitches. Now, the idea was, I think, that everything was supposed to happen fast. But of course, when they were explaining what was happening, it became clear that their supposedly quick electoral system wasn't that quick at all, where you had to, what was it? You send in your photo ID, then they send you a PIN, then you vote, then that vote is printed out, and then that printed out ballot essentially is scanned into a machine, and then they decide. But that alone wasn't what threw the wrench into it. It sounds like there was a riding, and this is something that IT people do. They allocated a certain riding, 999. Did you see any of this?
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a certain amount of ballots that were 999, and they were not quite orphaned, but they were special ballots, let's say. People like on the border of a riding, and they were sort of haggling over where those were going to go, in addition to the fact that there was only like 150 odd points between the two of them. So,
well, and that's why
it's proof that every vote counts, essentially, right? Like,
well, and that's why Christine Elliott was talking about inconsistencies and wrong counts and people in the wrong ballots. And because you gotta wonder to yourself, is they're doing it by riding. You're either in the riding or you're not in the riding.
Yeah.
And
unless you're like on an island or like that kind of thing, right? How they came up with this sort of 999 ballot is like, well, who knows?
It's bizarre. And so you would understand why she perhaps didn't throw in right away. Having said that, she kind of threw in right away.
Yeah.
Which,
well, not immediately, but I mean, normally in the old delegated conventions, like, oh, here's everybody and we're all one happy family. It just sounded like they kept mentioning the cash bar, and then there's the shot of the hallway, like, here's the hallway, and I heard this, I heard that, and then somebody came on and said, no, there's no information leaving the room. I don't know where you're getting this
Christine
information.
Christine Elliott left the building. No, she's right over there.
No, she's out behind the dumpster having a smoke. Who knows? No, I don't know if she smokes or not, but... yeah, it got really weird and drawn out, and funny enough, who was it that said, "Oh, this electoral system is did he specifically say unfair?" Doug Ford, 2 days before this all happened, was like, "Win or lose,
yes.
I'm going to challenge this because this is ridiculous, and we want more time, and not enough people got the vote." Now that he's won it, how many times has that been mentioned? Approximately 0.
He took
times.
Them to court the day before the voting closed.
The judge said no.
And the judge threw it out.
Forget it.
I mean, we're the Trump comparisons are inevitable, but they're also sitting right in front of us too. Because who else was saying like it's fixed, the fix is in.
Yep.
And
the media, it's all about the media. Oh, didn't he say what was his line? I don't give two hoots about Donald Trump. Be careful what you wish for, Doug, because if that comes up and you do happen to get the big job, Donald says, the guy doesn't give two hoots about me.
I'm sure they'll get along fine.
Oh, I think they're going to be BFFs. Kim Jong-un, Doug Ford, and all together.
Oh, man, that's a murderer's row.
Yeah.
especially Kim Jong-un's case. Before we get into Doug, it was just... They needed that to go well, because I'm sure the thought of a lot of people out there is this is how they're handling the internal business of the party, and they want to run government.
Yeah. Well, but it's all cleaned up. Everything's fine. Everything's working fine. Until it's not working fine, right?
But there was a lot of cleanup that had to be done, and one wonders what precipitated that cleanup. Was it all of a sudden, people, followed the money and stumbled upon some stuff? Or was it the fact that Patrick Bryan was out of the picture? And if Patrick Bryan wasn't out of the picture, would the PCs be going into a situation where there was massive corruption afoot? I mean, it's basically by accident it all came out, because if CTV hadn't have done that story about the people who accused Patrick Bryan of sexual impropriety, we would never have heard about the other stuff. I mean, there was already the stuff going on in the writings, but that seemed like regular old writing infighting. I mean, not regular, but there's a certain degree of writing infighting. Look at what happened to the Liberals in 2015. It happens when you have like the party structure of these major parties. It happens when you're trying to get the best candidates for every single riding.
Mm-hmm.
But it went deeper than anybody knew, the problems behind the scenes of the party. And I think they wanted the leadership conference or the leadership announcement to be that, hey, we're back. And it just turned into like a, I don't know what.
Train wreck dumpster fire. As we classically call these things on this show.
It just didn't look good. It just didn't look good.
No, especially when it's dragging out like that all day. I mean, I know there weren't, some of the political types were like, glued to the screens or whatever, or had an ear on the radio or something. Although I didn't even think it was on the radio, but I was sort of passively listening online. I'm like, really? They're not done yet, really? And then I kind of gave up, and I think it was like before bed, checked it out, and it's like, hey, wow, that's interesting. But they've saying there's lots of talk of party unity. The party is united. You keep hearing this, but I think that the way the vote, regardless of the glitches that happen, kind of reflect that the party doesn't really seem united if the choice of leader is anything to go by. I mean, Elliott and Ford quite literally neck and neck.
Mm-hmm.
Ford getting the votes pretty much from Greenwich Allen. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't say a sweep, but 80-odd percent of the second vote for Greenwich Allen were for Doug Ford, and that helped him immensely.
Right.
I thought it wasn't the strangest, but I mean, Carolyn Mulroney just left in the dust, really, right? Yeah. Raised the most amount of money, the most name recognition, but she just was not on the radar this time.
It is amazing how she disappeared.
Yeah.
How she didn't ultimately seem to matter at all.
But it sounded like that the people that voted for her didn't necessarily vote for anyone else.
Pumping
the ballot, I think it's called, when you just vote for one and not the rest, right? You're just kind of like, hmm.
And if there's anything that killed Christine Elliott, it's probably that.
Yeah.
That the Caroline Mulroney people didn't indicate where to go next in the unlikely event Caroline Mulroney was going to sweep that in the first ballot.
Yeah. And I think in the scheme of things, she was probably the act, and this is just my opinion, the when Doug Ford talks about the elites, I think he was implying, even though they're supposedly BFFs now, Caroline Mulroney, the old money, the old order, the old name, raised the most money, kids going to private school, actually lives in America, jet setter, right?
But he has a slate of elites now. He has, because Caroline Mulroney's running.
Yeah.
So is Mike Harris Jr.
Yes.
In Waterloo. Paul Calandra is running in
really?
Stouffville Markham.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. He was just,
oh boy.
That was, I think that was our very recent development, but I only know that because I was watching CBC and they were like,
maybe that trick loose on the weekend. Paul, you should run.
Like, yeah, they
Paul,
were,
you should run.
They were literally grabbing anyone on the freaking convention floor to talk to, and they'd grab Paul Calandra, and that's how, and I was like, Paul Calandra, who gives a damn? But it turns out he's running
and
still Phil Markham.
Including the old soldiers who chimed in, Mike Harris, Ernie Eves. I was like, wow, I haven't heard about these guys.
Kenny came in from Alberta.
And he was supposed to be the all-star guest star in the big... In the reveal, right? The reveal that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Poor Vic Fedeli getting up there like, meh. He had a speech and it was like, oh, we actually don't have anything yet. So,
yeah, I mean, it's Vic Fedeli, I think, has done a lot to, and perhaps it's not appreciated, but I think his pleasantness and his openness has done a lot to sort of buttress the damage to the party.
He seemed like the right guy for the job.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that's
dirty job
well appreciated. But yeah, I mean, now it's all on Doug, and this seems like a good place to pivot to Doug. And we were talking about this before the show. You know, he does he managed to rein in his inherent Doug-ness during most of the campaign, but like the day after, he's on a CBC interview, and he. It's like they freed the beast, and he's, you know, talking to the CBC about.
And I got the impression, and you listened to it as well, or have you yet? But it's
no,
it,
I've
like
heard it.
18 minutes,
yeah,
and it was sort of the big reveal in terms of the Doug Ford being released, the provincial level Doug Ford. It kind of harkened back to the days when Doug and Rob were on Toronto City Council. And they had a hate off of the Toronto Star, and we're never going to talk to the Star again. The tone that he took with Robin Urbach, it almost immediately turned to, it was this kind of defensive and kind of feisty, and like it was like, well, you've never done this, so I'm going to, so I'll answer that for you. It got really defensive right away. You could excuse it maybe that, okay, maybe he was a little tired or something. I don't think so. I think in that interview, you're probably seeing the real... you know, unblemished Doug Ford in that, like this is how he is. Cause you know, 18 minutes is a long time. We have guests for 25 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And you gotta be on your game.
Yeah.
It seemed like he wasn't on his game. And when he felt that the media were coming after him, especially with the hash question at the end.
Right.
Like he was like, oh, here we go with this. I don't know. Like you should expect to be asked that. It was a big story. People are aware. If you're going to be the premier, do you want to clear this up? And he got all, it was very kind of like barroom, kind of like, oh, yeah, here he goes with this. It was like this, man, it was painful, but had to be listened to.
And she brought up the fact that he said he was going to sue the Globe, and that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Which you'd think if they slant or they libeled you, you would have done.
But then he made some point about, well, they've got tons of money. It's like, well, you've got tons of money.
Right? The Globe and Mail has tons of money.
Well, no, he's saying
he
implied that.
Has he not heard about the current situation with newspapers?
He doesn't read
Jesse
them.
Brown did a full freaking show this week about how should newspapers be scared of libel suits because you know
they're
they don't
want to
right. They don't want to be involved in. They don't want to get like gawkered. Let's say.
So, but that's pretty much just proving that he's all talk in that department.
But he was never really tested on that either because he never really had any political ambitions beyond city council. He only ran for mayor at, like, the super last minute, so there wasn't really enough time. And by that time, you're in a full-blown, political campaign, a mayoral campaign where there's actual issues to talk about. So he's never really been tested on the hash story, the alleged hash story. He's never had to really answer for that because that came out, like, right in the middle of crack and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, somebody should have told him to expect that. And he's going to keep getting asked about it. Until there's an answer. And, you know, CP24 may let it slide because they suck. But I'm sorry. Have you ever watched one of these interviews on CP24?
Well, but I find it difficult to watch. There's too much going on. But it's like eight things in a crawl.
I wish there was more going on in the actual portion of the screen where they had
where
the news.
Where the heads are talking.
Yeah. But but he's going to get asked about it. Every one of these like little profile pieces he does, all these sit downs he does, he's going to get asked about it. And there's no, he has to have a good answer. It can't be like, here we go, folks, with the liberal media, blah, 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 blah. That's, you know, because it's only going to make people ask more. If he,
yeah.
If he had an answer, he's like, look, I was a kid. And, you know, I was a bit of a delinquent. I've learned better. I've grown up. I've been a city councilor. I've run a successful business.
Everybody loves the redemption story.
Plus,
look at
you
his
know,
brother.
Plus, we're going to have legal cannabis here. And, you know, then he can make a joke about it. Plus, you know, shouldn't a drug dealer be in charge when we have legal cannabis in the province of Ontario? Ha, 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 ha. People
yeah,
would love
be good.
It. People
that'd
would
be good
eat
stuff.
It up.
Yeah.
He wouldn't lose one supporter for
right.
it.
I think something else that's going to follow him around as well is the evolving connection to the religious right. It was
yes.
something that was the undoing of John Tory when he came up with the let's extend the funding to all the religious schools.
Right.
It's very clear that there's a strong link with the – did we talk about it last week, the anointment? Did I bring it up? I know we were talking about –
I think we talked about – well, we talked about the endorsement.
Doug
yeah.
Ford had an endorsement anointment at a place called the Prayer Palace in Toronto. And
that's not an ironic title, by
no.
the way.
And the person doing the anointing was one Charles McVetti. You may know that name. He
yeah.
actually got, what did he get kicked off of? Was
CTS.
It
he got
CTS
kicked off
or
of Christian television.
Yeah. Christian television, because he seems to, well, he's made some like clearly anti-Semitic comments about the Jews, proven. I'm not reading anything into that. I read it and I was like, we're not going to repeat it. But unless you've got it handy.
I don't have the quotes handy, but I have what they said. I wrote it down somewhere.
It was just
malevolent, insidious, and conspiratorial.
He's talking about the Jews. He's not talking about the liberals.
No, well, that's
which is probably a
his
Jewish
comments.
Conspiracy.
That's the way yeah. CTS described his comments that got him S-canned from CTS.
Yeah. And Paul Melanchuk, somebody else is involved, like
yeah.
known, like runs in those circles as well. And didn't, if I got it right, that McVetti brought Geert Wilders to Canada when he came? Like, he was involved with that and Rebel Media. If you want to call me out on that, folks, that's fine. But I'm pretty sure that he was part
of
that cabal that brought Geert Wilders,
I wouldn't be
known
surprised.
Racist Dutch politician
yeah, yeah.
to Canada, a progressive's nightmare. But that's, I think the anointing helped because he did, he very much so got the votes
Tony
of the,
Grant
of the
Allen. Yeah.
extreme Christian candidate?
Yeah.
Extreme Catholic candidate? I don't know. What's that?
But
she's hard to read. She obviously was able to raise $100,000 to get in the game.
Right.
You have to ask yourself, where does that cash come from? We know where it comes
well, we
from
know
for the rest of them.
Well, we know Right to Life has a lot of money.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not that. The thing that bothers me is that he comes right out the next day and he says, "Oh yeah, we're going to get rid of sex ed. We're going to consult with parents and teachers." And it's like, are you saying that the government and the Ministry of Education introduced a policy that didn't consult parents and teachers?
Mm-hmm.
Because that doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. You're repeating a talking point from Right to Life that this, you know, that nothing was consulted and that you're going to get rid of it. And it's just a cheap ploy. You don't care about this, Doug. You don't care about this. And he's phrasing it as like a, as a, I don't know, if not a free speech issue, but like, it's like, well, people have their values and they deserve to be heard. And it's like, you don't care about that.
Yeah, he says these like sort of basic, really baseline things like, I don't believe in the government sticking their heads in the lives of people all the time. It's like, so why are you
Great
running
quote.
For that job, right? Dude, like, seriously. It is what you do. It's one of those, like, what did you just say? Oh, yeah, and the sex ed thing, like, trans toilets really have nothing to do with sex ed, but yet somehow
no.
it's like, oh, he's, you know, mumbling something about the toilets. So, like, really? This is what you're going to go with?
Right.
He did try in the discussion with Robin Urbach about getting it back to the economy. People want to talk about the economy. Obviously, she didn't want to talk about
he's
the economy.
He's not wrong. But
yes, that's true, but you need to cover all these other issues. People want to know, like people that don't live in Toronto and heard about Doug Ford, the councillor, because that is his political, that's the extent of his political experience, I guess, right? It's not,
well, the, you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and that all, that, you know, that does translate for a lot of people into other levels, provincial and federal. But, and yeah, going back to that too, something else that he's sort of rehashing the Ford Nation platform because efficiencies came up, which was the Fords are all about the efficiencies.
Well, the magic efficiencies that never came about either.
Exactly. So it's twofold. It's like efficiencies is code for cuts.
Right.
And that never happened. That whole we saved the city $1 billion. And
which was a lie.
Yeah. And this is where the direct comparison comes in with Trump is that they just kind of say stuff, and it's not particularly accurate. And the other, what was the other one we kept throwing out there about, you know, Ontario is the most indebted, like, poorest province. Like, did he say in the world? I think he did. It was like, this is they're the poorest province in the world. It's not exactly true. Canada's number one in something called sub-sovereign debt, which is not just you're completely in debt. It's a little bit different. Ask an economist. But it isn't as if...
Yeah, don't ask Doug.
No, don't ask Doug. But it's not as if province, you know, it's not as if the province of Ontario is completely in the toilet. No. I wouldn't say far from it, but he's, you know, making it out like Ontario is a complete basket case, which isn't true. We still have a massively high credit rating and all these other factors that would say, yes, this is a place people want to invest. I mean, and this is not me coming to the defense of liberals. I'm just saying the basic economic front, you know.
That's an Ontario's issue, not but it's not in the toilet. Issue.
And it's like, it's the worst, it's the poorest, terrible.
Yeah, and my concern is that's what it's going to come down to, is having to refute his stupid talking points that aren't based on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I kind of struggle with how hard I want to be on Doug now, because I do want to be, like, pretty hard on him, because he's the kind of politician I hate. We're not going to get a campaign now where it's going to be about issues. It's going to be about refuting Doug's talking points, and the talking points aren't based on anything.
I did put a request in for an interview. I didn't tell you this yet, but I did sort of shake it down, so we'll see. If we had him on, I think we may have to change our tune just a little bit, but I doubt it'll happen, considering, you know, if he doesn't, he probably won't want to talk to the CBC anymore. He might do it Harper style, where he just doesn't talk to anybody. And I think that may happen, because he's going to lose his cool and he's going to look ridiculous.
That is what I'm watching for, because when he left City Hall, he hated it there. He was not going to run for re-election. He was going back to Deco. He didn't care, you know. So my question is, if he likes it right now, he likes going to interviews, and he likes talking about, you know, stuff he's going to do. But when it comes down to time to execute, when it comes time to negotiate and collaborate and compromise, he hates that stuff. He's going to be dogged by the press. He hates that. He's going to have to sit in Queen's Park, and if he becomes premier, he's going to have to be inundated with questions from multiple opposition parties every day, and he's gonna hate that too. And how long until he remembers he hates all this and is gonna get sick of it?
Yeah, I think if it does come to pass, we're gonna see a lot of the deputy house leader answering the questions for the next however many years. Because I think you're quite right. Maybe he's gonna, you know, do it Trump style, take control of the Twitter account, and just kind of sit at home with a cheeseburger and make his views known that way.
Plus, his family follows him everywhere, just like the frickin' Trumps. Anyway.
Lots of comparisons. He doesn't like it, but I know he doesn't give two hoots, but
he doesn't give a hoot.
The comparison's inevitable.
Give a hoot. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break and then come back with another provincial guest, Mike Schreiner, leader of the Green Party of Ontario. You're listening to Open Sources Guelph here on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio.
The paradigm of absolute control. And that's why we're just out here doing simple things, pointing out that we're meant to be in nature and be natural. And this is where we find the source that God made to transcend the New World Order. And that's why they want to try to keep us out of it.
I'm angry. I've had enough of these people. They're a bunch of Christian murderers, scum. They're on giant death factories, keeping babies alive. You're selling their body parts. What more do you need to know about these people? I go out and face these scum. They literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green looking skin, and they run around screaming, we love Satan, we wanna eat babies. I have them on video.
Hillary's in the creepy weird sixth of man. She sleeps in the same room with that creepy weirdo woman whose mother wears a hood over her head.
What the hell?
That woman number one is ugly. Imagine how bad she smells, man. I'm told her and Obama just stink. Obama and Hillary both smell like sulfur.
Literal vampire, pot belly goblins, a
fear it gets close to that evil and I feel it go.
We're such self-centered crap. We don't even notice and it's self rising up against us.
Millions of pointed people of the very worst type and I'm so pissed. We're gonna stab your daughter at the mall.
Oh boy,
that was a classic.
If you're wondering in the nature of Krusty the Clown, what the hell was that?
What the hell was that?
What the hell was that? Which was awesome. We could barely talk from laughing. That was the words of Alex Jones put to music called Jones Iver by an artist called Nick Lutzko. If you're looking for Nick Lutzko and his very awesome music, visit superdeluxe.com or Google Jones Iver on YouTube and you will be
very pleasantly
impressed and surprised and
you'll get at least
full of hilarity.
You'll get an hour of enjoyment out of a 3-minute song.
Then you will know what the hell was that.
So Mike Kreiner, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's always a pleasure to be on Open Sources and CFRU.
We appreciate that. We'll get you to record a little bump one of these days. And
oh, I'd love to do a promo for you.
That'd be
fine. Yeah, absolutely.
It has to be after the election now.
Oh, after the election, for sure.
Yeah. When you're premier.
Yeah, well, you know.
You never know.
I'll take opposition leader first. How's that?
All right, fair enough. Speaking of opposition leaders, you know, let's get this out of the way. We spent the first half of the show dissecting the PCs and Mr. Ford. And so, I mean, you've probably been asked 1,000 times this week already about what your thoughts are, but we'll ask you one more time about, you know, going head-to-head with Doug Ford.
Well, first of all, you know what? I'm going to call him out on his fake populism because, you know what? Everything Doug Ford stands for, his empty slogans and half-baked ideas, are about how to benefit his wealthy friends, not the people of Ontario. And I think we need a party that's going to stand up and put people first, and it's definitely not a Doug Ford-led Conservative Party.
Hmm. It's strange, though, considering, you know, he's got the popular. I mean, it's people don't want to make the Trump comparison, but he's got a similar background where he comes from. He's inherited a lot. He's, you know, inherited a successful company, and you could argue he's inherited Ford Nation as well. But, you know, when people look at you or Kathleen Wynne or Andrea Horvath and Doug Ford and they say which one of these is quote unquote representing the common man.
Yeah, you know what? That's why I say we have to call him out on his fake populism. I mean, his policies benefit his wealthy friends and well-connected insiders, and he's inherited everything he's gotten. So you know what? I'm more about, and what the Green Party's about, is people-powered change and grassroots activism, where we're going to stand up for people and fight for people. And you know what? You know, the media, the mainstream media, keeps referring to him as a populist. Like, he's a populist in the Donald Trump sense of populism, but he is not a populist when it comes to fighting for people and policies that will work for people.
Well, let me ask you this then. I think with Mr. Brown, regardless of Mr. Brown's, the issues that came to light, and not just the sexual allegations, but, you know, the stuff going on in the party, the hanky-panky in the party, the People's Guarantee was not your typical conservative document, and it really seemed that this election was going to be based on who's got the best ideas.
Yeah.
And can we still have that election now with Doug Ford in the race? How much of it is going to be about, you know, how much of it is going to be about making it about Doug versus making it about ideas?
Tell you what, I am going to work and I'm going to fight to make it about ideas that work for people and to not make it about personalities. And that's why I almost don't even want to open the conversation with that. And, you know, one of the things I was on a radio interview, was it yesterday morning? And one of the things I said is, you know, people are clearly fed up with the status quo. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's a false choice in this election to say you have to vote for one establishment party that clearly people are upset with the way they've been governing the province, to then vote for another establishment party that clearly, after the last few weeks, can't even govern itself. Mm. So why not have a new way of doing politics in Ontario? And, you know, I look at what Greens are doing in British Columbia and Prince Edward Island in particular, but all across the world where elected Greens are showing people, proving to people you can do politics differently. You can be elected and bring forward a green agenda responsibly that puts people first. And that's what we're going to be fighting for on Ontario.
Well, to get there, and one of the reasons we were talking to you today is about the fair debate.
Sure.
I know there's a petition online, and mm-hmm. you obviously are in favor of this petition saying you get involved in the leadership debate. But where does the fair debate come from? Who started that petition?
It's interesting. It was initiated by somebody independent, mm-hmm. a third party, and I think he'd be full disclosure that somebody who actually used to be an NDP staffer. Mm. So not even coming from the Green Party necessarily, though this person's very clear to say that he's not aligned with any political party right now, but is just a democracy activist and somebody who believes deeply in strengthening our democracy and believes that all voices should be heard. And his point, which I obviously agree with, maybe I'm a little biased in this regard, his point is there are four parties in Ontario that have met the threshold to qualify for public funding of political parties, and the Green Party is one of those, and we're the only one of those four parties that historically has been not included in the televised leaders debate, mm-hmm. and we should be. And I think he's right, because I think the people of Ontario, they have a democratic right to hold us accountable. I want to be held accountable by the people of Ontario. And probably the best way and the most high-profile way of doing that is through the leaders debate. 2 weeks ago, I was participated in a democracy forum that included all four party leaders at mm-hmm. Ryerson. And, you know, the feedback I've received and I've seen on social media was, what a fantastic debate it was. And it was so nice to have somebody like the Green Party there offering new ideas, offering a fresh voice, giving a new perspective that maybe people haven't considered before. And I think that's an important part of the democratic conversation we need to have in this election.
I did want to ask about how that went, because having the four of you in one tape, Grand Mr. Fideli was
the interim leader
for the eventual PC leader. But it did seem like a cordial event from what I saw online. Is there any guarantee, because part of this is the parties themselves, right, that you know, they have the input in how the debates are run, and they can veto you, and, you know, but will they veto you once your back is turned, I guess, is what we're asking.
Well, we'll see. You know, what I find so inspiring about the Fair Debates petition, and you can go to fairdebates.ca, I believe is their URL, is that there are people from across the political spectrum, so current conservatives, current NDP, current liberal, and just a number of high-profile Canadians who have all endorsed the fair debates. I find that to be really inspiring, that these are voices across the political spectrum who are saying that we want to have fair debates. And, you know, one of the policies we've been pushing in the Green Party is that really the determination of the debates provincially should be done by Elections Ontario, mm-hmm. and federally by Elections Canada. Like, we shouldn't leave it up to a private consortium of private mainstream media in back rooms with the party leaders. Like, this should be taken out of the back rooms and should be made a democratic, open, and transparent process mm-hmm. that Elections Ontario would oversee, so it is fair not only for all the parties but more importantly for the voters in Ontario.
Which is something that on the federal level the Liberals have pledged at least, I think, $1.5 million or a couple of million dollars to find a better way to organize leadership.
Exactly.
Debates.
And I thought, you know what, there's a number of things the federal Liberals have done. I mean, the broken promise on electoral reform is, you know, one of the ones that angers me the most.
Electoral reform, you say?
Yeah, you've never heard of proportional representation, have you, Adam?
No, and it doesn't make the news here.
One thing I will compliment the federal government, the federal Liberals on, is moving forward with discussing about how we reform the way debates are done so they are, it's open, transparent, it's fair.
Mm-hmm. So what does it mean, to be a part of the debates? I mean, you've done a fairly good job of, culture jamming the debates in the past by holding your own live events.
Right.
But, you know, in terms of what does it get you to be a part of the leaders' debates?
Well, we have seen across Canada and across the world that when Greens are included in televised leaders' debates, Greens get elected. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is when people finally hear what the Green Party has to offer, they are like, wow, that is something I can get behind. That is something that makes so much sense. Let me just give you one concrete example of that. So right now, the minimum wage controversy is huge in Ontario. And you have one party saying, you know, I'm standing with workers and $15 an hour and, you know, screw business. And they want to make a wedge issue out of me. Another party saying, oh, you know, these workers are demanding too much and the minimum wage is going to, you know, cost jobs and is bad for business. And the Green Party is the only party saying, let's have both. Mm. Let's have a living wage for workers, and let's lower payroll taxes on small businesses so they can afford to pay workers a living wage and afford to create more jobs. But that's not the wedge-style politics that happens in winner-take-all elections and that happens with the mainstream establishment status quo parties.
Right.
And coming up with a solution that works for both workers and small businesses isn't part of our normal political debate. And it's those kinds of new ideas, new ways of doing politics, things that work for people, that's what the Green Party is putting on the table. That's what we would offer in the debates, and I think it would change the channel on the conversation.
Yeah, and changing the channel, you know, speaking of our friends in corporate media, that I think, you know, when they're deciding on how to run debates, they value the simplicity of it. They value the simplicity of three and instead of four. And on the minimum wage issue, the part of that is fostered by a mainstream media that wants to make it about greedy workers versus, you know, hardworking businesses. And I don't think that's been the case. What I'm trying to phrase is this is, it's very easy for those of us and people who signed the petition, and I'll confess I've signed the petition as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad to know you believe in democracy.
Well, what a relief, right? After all these years. That I think it's, you know, you've convinced the people. And I think if you asked any 10 people on the street, they'd say, you know, yeah, that's right, he should be in the debate. But that's still, you're still asking a lot for, you know, those corporate media guys to hop over a wall that they would rather not climb over.
But don't you think our democracy is more important than their ratings? Like, frankly, this is about democracy.
But
this is about citizenship. This is about people.
I'm not sure
this is about
agree,
how we govern. No, I know. But seriously, this is democracy should trump ratings. This should be about democracy. This should be about what's good for the people of Ontario, not what's good for three-party leaders and some backroom media, mainstream media people. This should be about what's good for the people of Ontario. And so I think the way we're going to change that is probably not to put pressure. The media, I don't know if they're going to move. Mm. It's the party leaders. And so what I'm asking people who are members of the Conservative Party, members of the New Democratic Party, members of the Liberal Party, put pressure on your leader. If you really believe in fair debates and an open democracy, put pressure on your leader. I mean, I know when Elizabeth May was excluded in the federal leaders debate, a lot of NDP members put pressure on Jack Layton. And to Jack Layton's credit, he said democracy should come first and Elizabeth May should be in the leaders' debates. So I'd ask the public, you know, I understand, you know, not everyone agrees with the Green Party, obviously. But if you believe in democracy, you believe in fair debates, then put pressure on your party leader to allow for fair debates.
So if I got it right, the criteria for participation or the idea of getting a party into the debates is over a certain percentage of the popular vote, which connects to the subsidy, the vote subsidy people. I'm not sure whether the listeners are aware of what the baseline is.
Yeah.
Because if it was the case, you know, you could argue that every leader should be in the debate and there'd be like 10, 12.
So, Scotty, so you raise a great question. So there is no criteria right now. The criteria is whatever happens in the back rooms with the political party leaders
and
the mainstream media, they decide it. So we don't even know what the criteria is. If there was transparent criteria and the Green Party was excluded based on transparent criteria, I'd be okay with that. I might still disagree with it, but I sort of like could understand it. So the case that the Fair Debates petition is making is to qualify for public funding of political parties, you have to exceed a certain threshold of popular vote. Mm-hmm. And there are four parties in the province that exceed that threshold. And so that's one way to sort of say, okay, maybe you can't have 20 leaders on stage, but you can have four. I would argue, though, in addition to having a leaders debate with the four parties, we should have a separate leaders debate with the rest of the parties, because they should have an opportunity for every party should have an opportunity for their voices.
We just call it the fringe debate,
right? Well, okay, I don't want to call it the fringe debate.
We just call it the fringe
debate. If you want to call it the fringe debate, that's
fine.
We
call it the fringe debate. We love having them all on to us.
No, we do. Yeah. But to Scotty's point, though, I think that's a common thought, though, that there is some threshold, there is some boxes to check for to make it to the quote-unquote big league of these leaders debate. And it just really sounds like they're not.
There is none.
No.
There isn't a threshold. I mean, and the threshold changes.
Right.
So let's create a threshold. So Fair Debates has proposed one threshold, and if you don't like that threshold, then we can have a different one. But that's the one they've proposed. Would have four parties in the debate. And there's a good justifiable rationale of why that should be the case.
So, and not to put you on the spot, but the Green popular vote last time was?
Around 300,000.
There you go.
Yeah.
So
okay.
That's a lot of
give votes. Give or take a little bit. Yeah.
A lot of votes.
Over 10,000 here in Guelph alone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, who was running last time?
I don't know. Who was that guy? I don't know.
He just showed up anyway.
Yeah, Mike Schreiner or something like that. I think that was his name.
So what's going on right now? I am kind of fascinated with the what goes on before the writ is dropped. And you're obviously doing your share as the leader and doing a lot of interviews, especially after what's happened last weekend. But, what's going on? You've had your office set up for a while, but you had your party had the big convention here last month.
That's right.
So, what's going on in terms of prep work right now?
One of the biggest things I'm doing right now and our team's doing is just out knocking on doors. And I know your politicians say that all the time. I probably have knocked on more doors in Guelph than maybe anybody. I don't know. I'll have to talk to maybe some of the mayor candidates in the past. But, what we're doing right now is we're just listening. We're asking people in Guelph, what's your number one issue? What do you want us to be talking about at Queen's Park? What do you want me to talk about in the election? And that process has been fascinating. Like the responses I'm receiving from people, really fascinating. I'll give you a little insight. Mm-hmm. Housing affordability. People mm-hmm. talk about housing affordability. A lot of talk about transit. And, so I've told Mayor Guthrie, I said, I've got some feedback for you on the Guelph bus system. I've heard from people at the doors.
And there's a town hall coming up on Tuesday at City Hall and with Mayor Guthrie.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So that's a great opportunity for people to go and, who've been telling me that they're concerned about it at the door to actually speak directly with the mayor. Mm-hmm. And then one of the big things I'm doing is unfortunately, the same night, Tuesday night, March 20th, we will be holding a town hall here in Guelph. Mm-hmm. And that'll be launching my spring leaders tour. So every spring I do a tour of the province. And so we will launch it with a town hall here in Guelph, and then I'll be on the road for a few weeks, and then I'll be back home get a little bit of rest and get back to work with our local campaign here in Guelph.
The Wall of Sound tour.
Yes.
So in terms of all that ground game that's going on, How are you anticipating that may translate into success? And this plays into what you were talking about earlier, that we have seen, it's not a huge green wave, but it's certainly been a building wave where you're talking about what happened in BC, and you have now two green MPPs or MLAs. I'm not sure the nomenclature they use in PEI, but it does seem like there's a breakthrough pending. And I know you don't want to miss the moment, and I'm sure a lot of green people here in Guelph and around Ontario don't want to miss the moment either. So how does all this work translate how do you think it's going to translate in success for you?
So I think we're going to make every vote count, and I think we're going to make history, and I think we're going to put Guelph on the map as the green center in Ontario. And I've said over and over again, I can't wait to the thought of going out with the mayor and our member of parliament and saying to clean tech companies all around the world that if you want to create good, clean economy jobs, Guelph is the place to do it, especially as a place that's going to elect Ontario's first green MPP. And what I'm hearing at the door over and over again, there's a lot of anger directed at the Liberals. Mm. That people are very upset. It's in all the bowl. I'm not telling you anything that isn't out there right now. A lot of people upset and angry with the Liberals.
Liberals,
yeah, take that note, Dan. But you know what? After what's happened over the last 45 days with the Conservative Party, the same I'm hearing at the door. And so I'm hearing over and over again that you know, we can't trust the liberals to govern the province, and we can't trust the conservatives to govern themselves, let alone the province. And I'm hearing that a lot at the doors. And then it's sort of after we have that conversation, then people say, oh, and the issue I'm most concerned about, but the thing they're most concerned about is a dissatisfaction with the way politics is being done in Ontario right now, and a distrust of how the status quo is governing the province.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting. It's going to be interesting to watch how that plays out. There was that News Talk poll, I think we talked about on last week's show, that the Dart one, that said 16% of people are looking for another party.
That's right.
Not Liberal, Conservative, or NDP. And it's like, well, there's not too many more parties that run province-wide for you to look to. So.
Absolutely. I think this is going to be a very strong showing for the Green Party. And I think people are looking at what's happened in British Columbia, 3 Green MLAs holding the balance of power. 2 Green MLAs, Prince Edward Island. The Greens are polling number 1 in Prince Edward Island now. So people have seen that Greens can be elected, and when they are elected, they're incredibly effective at getting the job done. And even just without a seat at Queen's Park, you know, I've made a huge difference on a number of issues. I mean, the biggest one probably being leading the charge to get big money out of politics. And so I look at what we've accomplished in Ontario before having a seat in the legislature. Imagine what we can accomplish for Ontario and for Guelph once we have a seat in the legislature.
Realize the parties are still getting everything lined up. Are you anticipating having candidates in every riding?
Oh, yes. 124 across the province? We are well on our way of having all 124 candidates. Matter of fact, somebody told me they think we may even maybe have more nominated than the NDP, or we're close. We're close.
Quite possible.
The Conservatives and Liberals are a bit ahead of the two of us, but I'm sure there'll be 4 parties that'll run a full slate of candidates, I'm sure. Mm. And, you know, those 4 parties probably should be in the debate together as well.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think some people see that as debate criteria, because wasn't that with Elizabeth May as
it
well?
Was,
it's like,
yeah.
You have somebody in every riding, you should darn well be in the debate, so.
You want to give people how they can, you know, petition to get you in the debates one more time? And
well, I'm pretty sure it's fairdebates.ca.
It is.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Don't make my mistake and type in fairdebate.ca. It doesn't take you anywhere weird, but it doesn't take you where you want to go.
Fairdebates.ca, yeah. That's right. And you can always follow what I'm doing, on Twitter, Mike Schreiner, Facebook, Mike Schreiner, Guelph Greens, Twitter and Facebook as well. And not just to follow, to listen, but to engage. Mm. I am one of the few party leaders, I think, that actively has conversations with people on social media, because I want to hear what people have to say. I want to listen. And I also want to be very honest with you about where I stand on the issues.
Well, Mike, thank you for your time today. And I know we will see you very soon once that writ falls, and we'll see you out in the huskings.
Always a pleasure.
And once again, that was Green Party of Ontario leader Mike Schreiner, and not too long before we'll dig into election stuff and have him back.
Seems to have already hit the ground running. No writ yet, but
he's
knocking on the doors.
He's talking about knocking the doors, knocking the doors down. Well, I imagine someone who's
hopefully not kicking them down right now.
Oh goodness. Speaking of knocking doors down, I guess Rex Tillerson will have to find something to do with this time. It's
yikes.
Yeah, this is kind of, I mean, this is kind of big news, and it's still kind of breaking with what happened Tuesday morning, where
is it true?
It's nuts.
A tweet?
It's a
he
tweet.
He got off a plane and said, there was a tweet that said, you're fired. Or thank you for your service. It was a little more polite than.
No. I think the order of events was he had come back early from a trip to Africa. Mm-hmm. He was doing a little tour of Africa as secretaries of state do, and General Kelly apparently got on the phone to him on Friday or Saturday and said, "Hey, you better get home because the president is going to fire you soon."
So he did get a heads up, yeah.
Well, this is what I've understood from reporting. And then, so yeah, he landed back in Washington at 4 a.m. on Tuesday, and then a couple hours later, Donald Trump says, you're fired, via Twitter. Just like he did on his famous television show, where he fired people from afar and not to their face every week.
Jeez. And then somebody, Undersecretary of Public Diplomacy, got fired for contradicting how the firing went down?
Yes.
It's like this chain of events. Like,
right. And because...
how did you get that wrong? We're going to fire you.
He didn't get it wrong. He said that Tillerson found out via Twitter. Now, we've since found out that, yes,
he did
find out via Twitter, but that guy was fired for not going with the accepted story. And then the one that got buried is the body man, whose name I can't remember, but he was fired too. Man. Well, the guy who basically follows the president around with all his stuff.
Oh.
Remember Charlie
carries
from...
the football. Yeah.
No, well, he doesn't carry the football, no. But remember Charlie from the West Wing?
He vaguely, yes.
Yeah. So that was the equivalent. The body man was fired because, again, security issues. Apparently he has like gross financial misconduct.
Oops.
That, you know, you can't.
Where did that gold bust of Kennedy go? We don't know.
But it's hilarious. You know, we joke about that, but that guy was like literally taken out of the White House. They didn't let him go back and get his jacket. They didn't let him get his jacket.
I left my coat in there. No, you can't have it. Sorry.
But the big, they're going to mail him his stuff. But then the kicker is that guy was then hired onto the Trump reelection campaign as a senior advisor.
Oh.
He's not good enough to work in the White House. Or he's not stable enough to work in the White House in terms of security risk, but he's okay to work on the president's reelection campaign.
It's outside the gates, so it's all right.
I guess so.
Yikes.
But I mean, by far the big news is Tillerson, of course.
Mm.
And, he's gone. I mean, I honestly don't think it matters too terribly much because...
It doesn't. I think it's going to matter a bit to... Canada to a degree, at least. Well, that's the way it's been played in the media here. I think Chrystia Freeland was probably having a big glass of wine if she does drink after she heard that, because I think she felt she had a chum.
Or at least he was malleable and could be worked with.
With everything that was going on. And, you know, obviously big wheel businessman with ExxonMobil. He understood business. He understood the dynamic. He seemed personable enough.
Well, I mean, we joked a lot about Rex Tillerson in the beginning, how he he went on a trip and then forgot his press corps and would go, well, this is kind of new to me, and how his wife said that God picked him to be Secretary of State and all that kind of stuff. But I think there was definitely a smell on him to begin with, talking about all the stuff with Putin and everything, where it felt like he was going to be another puppet figure. And he didn't turn out to be that. No. He's actually been quite harsh on Russia.
And that is the number one thing that will get you smoked from the Trump administration. If you don't resign on your own...
Yeah.
Then if you're not singing Trump's tune, or at least he gets the perception that you're not. Well, what was Scaramucci, a week?
This 10 is days.
Like 10 days. So this is like, if I understand it right, he's either the 20th or 21st high-rolling person in the administration to get smoked.
I believe he's lasted 40 and a half Scaramucci's.
As we measure everything in Scaramucci's. How many Scaramucci's is that?
Yeah.
Priebus, Bannon,
yeah.
Omarosa, Hope Hicks, Spicy.
It's endless. I think it was somebody on MSNBC said this was like five people in the last 10 days who like high profile people in the administration. And Trump comes out and he's like, I'm finally getting the team I want. It's like, well, what's stopping you before? You're president of the United States.
Yeah. I think what stopped him before is that he didn't realize he was going to be the president of the United States.
Comes out last week and he says 100 people for every position in the White House want to work. Everybody wants to work in the White House. It's like, well, then why are you having such a hard time holding on to
Why don't we have a gig there? I don't know why.
Well, I can imagine a few reasons. But
so new Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo?
Well, former designate,
CIA director and was he a Tea Party guy?
Yeah,
I don't know much about him. I knew the name as soon as he said it. It was like
he's your usual cut of the mill Republican, anti-choice, anti-gay marriage, pro NRA.
And there's some controversy about the deputy CIA head, who's now the first. Gina Haspel is now the first woman. So hooray for equity! But isn't she like a veteran of black ops or something?
She sounds like kind of a psycho.
Yeah,
we
got her on tape talking torture and torturing people. It would seem allegedly, but
that's what's interesting is that John McCain has come out, and not that John McCain is terribly active in the Senate these days because he's recovering from cancer.
Goodness, yeah.
But he said like, well, I'm not going to vote for her because, of course, John McCain is very anti-torture. And I think, what's his name? Rand Paul came out and said he's not going to vote for either Pompeo or Haskell, because, they're hawks, foreign policy hawks, pro-war people. And I mean, we'll see how that holds up. I mean, you can't believe a Republican is going to vote no until they actually cast the deciding. But, I mean, so there's a certain degree of, concern about Pompeo And then on top of it all, he's still talking about, is he going to get rid of the Veterans Affairs guy and then put Rick Perry in there? And I'm not sure if Donald Trump appreciates that just because these people have been approved for cabinet-level positions at the Senate, that they don't have to be reaffirmed by the Senate. That there is
a different position. I'm pretty sure they haul you in front.
Yeah,
they
there's an entirely new confirmation process. And I'm not sure Donald Trump knows that, because I think he's thinking like this is like the Trump
cabinet
organization.
Shuffle.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Well, like a cabinet shuffle here, but also like how he does things at the Trump organization. Oh, you don't like being VP of residential development or whatever? I don't know how it works.
See, back to shipping with you.
Yeah, go, you know, now you're VP of this over here.
Here's a tape
gun. Going to go run Trump resorts and who the heck knows. So, you know, it's just, it's another make work project for the U.S. Senate, and they've got a lot of work to do. Not that they're really doing it as it is, but it's, it's a gong show. It just doesn't seem like there's any end to the madness, and that seems to suit Trump perfectly fine. And then
it's continuous turmoil.
He's just in California yesterday talking about, let's have a space force. Let's have a space force.
I never heard that. Space force.
Yeah. He's like, we have the Air Force.
Space force.
We have the Air Force. Let's have a space force.
Just picturing the Thunderbird puppets flying around. Wow. What an ideas, man.
And then he's at the wall, the wall samples, and he's like, they got to be transparent. They got to be transparent. It's like, that. First of all, that doesn't make any sense.
You can see them coming.
Yes. Yes.
I wonder how much like a foot thick of Lexan, like by however many feet high.
I don't know.
I kind of like that story about the samples. Somebody wants to preserve them as works of art because they are interesting in a row like that. But
yeah, I mean, it's yeah,
could
it's,
be a monument to the Trump
it's
times.
It's visually interesting
until there's a whole ones from coast to coast,
right?
Stretching.
That's the thing. I if the wall never happens, I hope someone does leave them as just like maybe like a memorial to like this period of time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Come ye pilgrims to the Trump wall.
Wall
samples. I have some samples here of wall.
Maybe they can put them in his presidential library because I'm not sure what else will
they
go in there.
They can build the library out of those walls because that's about how big it's going to be. It'd be like one book, Fire and Fury. No, I don't know.
Goodness gracious. Well, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot more books. Anyway, we are unfortunately going to have to call it a day. Time flies. Anyway, you can... I got to do some show notes here. Cam Guthrie is going to be here at the end of April for a Q&A, a pre-election Q&A, so that's going to be really exciting. And I personally will be hosting an all-candidates panel at Guelph Humber for the paper there, the Avra Post, and that'll be on March the 23rd at 1 p.m. So if you're in the Guelph Humber neighborhood, you can RSVP and stop by. And
will it be recorded for posterity?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm just...
TBA.
People invite me places and I go. It's weird.
It's fantastic.
Anyway, you can stay connected to Open Sources here at our website, opensourcesguelph.com. You can go to Facebook at Open Sources Newswire or go to Twitter at @OS_Guelph, and you can hear our past episodes on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean or through iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. You can find me on Twitter at Adam A. Donaldson or go to GuelphPolitico.blogspot.ca.
Scotty Hertz on Facebook, Scotty Hertz on Twitter, and I blog at spannerbook.wordpress.com.
And unless there's anything else before now and then, DJ Sounds, good to be here at the top of the hour on CFRU 93.3 FM, CFRU.ca, Guelph Campus and Community Radio, and we will see you back here next week at 5 p.m. on a Thursday. See you then.